This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Live, kicking off the third hour of the program. We're talking about the latest news on deepfakes. This time, it's not about swapping celebrity faces in movie clips, which is impressive and really interesting and fun to watch. If you haven't seen those deepfakes, you can, I'm sure you can look at YouTube and search for deepfakes and find some of the best ones out there. They're really persuasive, using technology to put somebody else's face on another person's face and have it animate their mouth in a way that looks convincing, having them say the things that they didn't actually say. So it's really an interesting technology, but it's got a kind of a dark side to it. And the idea there is that, well, this can be used to fool people into believing that a person said a thing they didn't actually say. Or in this particular case, as Reuters is explaining to us, to create a person from nothing that never existed before to sort of be the vehicle for maybe some hateful beliefs or some libel or whatever it is that you want this fake person to say online. In the studio, by the way, tonight, it's Ian.
I'm Tyler.
And Mark.
And the phone lines are open for you at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So we're talking about a guy who's apparently not a real guy at all, but he calls himself, or whoever his creator is, calls him Oliver Taylor. And he's a 20-something with brown eyes, light stubble, and slightly stiff smile. There's a nice smiling photograph of him here in this Reuters article. And to me, looks like a real guy, but experts say there's some telltale signs in this photo that he's not real at all, that he was generated by deepfake technology. And they spoke to some of the deepfake experts about this character, and they talk about how he's been, writing anti-Semitic things online, and actually was published in a couple of different newspapers who later tried to verify that he was a real person. They were convinced that he was real enough, and so they published his work. Turns out they couldn't verify that. So deepfakes like this Taylor guy are dangerous, they say here at Reuters, because they can help build a, quote, totally untraceable identity. This is according to Dan Brami, who's got a startup in Israel called Cyabra that specializes in detecting these fake images. He said investigators chasing the origin of such photos are left, quote, searching for a needle in a haystack, except the needle doesn't exist. Taylor appears to have had no online presence until he started writing articles in late December. The University of Birmingham, which he claims to have attended, said in a statement it could not find, quote, any record of this individual using these details, unquote. Editors at the Jerusalem Post and the Al Jazeera say they published Taylor after he pitched them stories cold over email. He didn't ask for payment, they said, and they didn't take aggressive steps to vet his identity. So he just emailed.
Why would you?
Yeah, he emailed him. Hey, I got this story I want to write.
Right. If somebody wrote a great story and sent it to me, and they, I'm not going to go through and ask for their driver's license and a bunch of stuff.
Ultimately, it doesn't really matter that much if it was a good story who wrote it, does it?
Not in the radio biz. People make up their names all the time here. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. My real name isn't Mark Edge.
We're not a counterintelligence operation, said the editor-in-chief at Al Jazeera. He said although he noted the paper had introduced new safeguards since, after Reuters began asking about Taylor, the newspapers deleted his work. Taylor emailed both papers protesting the removal. But Times of Israel opinion editor Miriam Herschlag said she rebuffed him after he failed to prove his identity. One of them said he didn't respond to Taylor's messages. The Jerusalem Post and Arutz Sheva have kept Taylor's articles online, although the latter removed the, quote, terrorist sympathizers reference following a complaint from the people he was accusing. The Post editor-in-chief, Yaakov Katz, didn't respond when asked whether Taylor's work would stay up. Arutz Sheva editor Yanni Kepminski said only that, quote, in many cases, news outlets use pseudonyms to byline opinion articles. So they do it, too. Kavinsky declined to elaborate or say whether he considered Taylor to be a pseudonym. Oliver Taylor's articles drew minimal engagement on social media, but the Times of Israel's Herzlag said they were still dangerous, not only because they could distort the public discourse, but also because they risked making people in her position less willing to take chances on unknown writers. Quote, absolutely we need to screen out imposters and step up our defenses, but I don't want to set up these barriers that prevent new voices from being heard. And this is the trouble that these folks have come across here with these deepfakes is, you know, they've got some sort of a reputation for saying this person is who they say they are and here's their opinion. Well, now they've published somebody who doesn't actually exist's opinion. And does that matter, ultimately?
I tend to think not. So at this point, we're not claiming that the articles themselves were generated by a computer. Right?
That's not being claimed. Correct.
Okay. So what we're saying is that this here's a fake picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you read it, write an article, sometimes there'll be a picture. Generally, there is not a movie, just a picture mm-hmm. of you. And, you know, some authors don't put their picture at all.
That's true.
And some authors do. And I just don't, this to me is much ado about nothing. If they would have gotten the picture of some Russian peasant who's normally working in the field and instead was shorn and shaved and whatever, dressed up for this particular picture, taken the picture and then rushed off, you know, paid him 1,000 rubles. I don't know what 1,000 rubles is worth. And, off they went to use his picture as a byline for whatever their articles are, which appear to be somewhat distasteful. But whatever. I don't think the Russian peasant would care much as long as he got his money for the picture taken.
Right.
And he did. It was 3 hours he didn't have to spend in the field pulling turnips or whatever.
Well, in this case, you don't even have a real person. In this case, it's just a computer-generated man, apparently.
I got it that it's a computer-generated man, but, you know, what if it wasn't? So what?
I mean, at this point, it's kind of like a ghostwriter, right? But
yeah,
right. What if it goes deeper, right? What happens when the government decides they want to make the perfect candidate? Or even worse, what happens when they want to make a boogeyman, a villain to go after?
Right, who doesn't even exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. How are you going to prove that it didn't happen?
Yeah, so I tend to agree with you on this one, Mark. That it's relatively insignificant what has happened here, but I think Tyler's point is really
I agree with Tyler that anything the government gets a hold of is terrifying.
Definitely. Sure.
And don't forget that corporate America will be using this very soon. You'll have this guy's picture on some Amazon review. Pretty soon, it'll just be everywhere. You can't believe anything that's written anymore.
No.
You know, it was nice back when the sum total of human knowledge was contained on your cell phone, but sorry, ladies and gentlemen, now you're going to have to start employing your brains again.
Well, that's the thing.
You can just move into the new world order that's coming and, just go ahead and suck it up because this is how life's going
to
be.
Let's go to Alex. He's in Ohio watching on YouTube. Go ahead, Alex. Hello?
Hello.
Alex.
Hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, actually, a lot of you guys hit head on the nail. I think that ultimately...
Before you go on, I don't mean to be rude. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm on a headset. Am I sounding garbly?
Yeah,
I don't think the
headset's
working. I think you're holding your phone too far away.
Well, it's not the greatest. Could you maybe not do that?
Yeah, I'll switch off my headset. Pardon. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, no problem. Take your time.
Is that better?
Okay, yes, it is better, I think.
Okay, much better. My apologies. Yeah, I think ultimately both of you have hit the heads on the nail in both aspects. I think deepfake technology is a lot of it is going to be very benign, ghost writing. I mean, just think about like Stephen Colbert, right? He had this whole persona of, being a Republican anchor and doing the Republican things, but ultimately was like an Onion article, right? It was all fake and making fun of Republican stuff. But then you also have a very, very serious concern with what happens when Hollywood and the government gets a hold of this technology and starts influencing what we buy or influencing foreign affairs with this type of stuff. Maybe even generating an enemy, generating a boogeyman, like as Tyler said.
I think that's one of the biggest concerns.
Well, it's like dynamite and guns and everything else. There is both a very good thing for dynamite and guns, and there's very bad things that happen with dynamite and guns.
And that's always been true with technology. That's always been the case. Uh-huh. It can be used for good. It can be used for destruction. And, you know, if Hollywood wants to make a fake actor, that doesn't matter. They've been doing that for years with CGI. I mean, that's we're used to that. If a company wants to have a fake person rep their products on television, that's, again, relatively not unusual. Like, we've had Toucan Sam and, you know, various different characters for years on that. Alex, if you have more to say, stand by. We can bring you back for that. 855-450-FREE. And you know, maybe we're just barely even able to really unpack what the ramifications of this are. Maybe there's some stuff out there that these deepfakes are going to make possible that we haven't even really latched onto yet. But somebody out there is already thinking about it. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's Free Talk Live.
Did you know you can support freedom of speech just by visiting shop.freetalklive.com? You'll see links to Walmart, Love Java, Newegg, and more. Every day, Free Talk Live is at the forefront of the liberty movement as the biggest liberty-oriented talk show in the world, giving you a platform to be heard on any topic. Get listener-only specials without doing anything other than an extra click. Visit shop.freetalklive.com. Use the links and buy what you'd be buying anyway. Take action now. Save and support freedom. Visit shop.freetalklive.com. It's shop.freetalklive.com.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Gut shaving irritation? Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts? Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, H-E-B, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
dial in toll-free. Bring up anything you want. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE-LIFE-FREEDOM. 855-450-3733. Thanks to Intercoin, every member of a community can receive a periodic airdrop of money that they can use on necessities. This UBI can be funded by outside donors or by the community democratically voting to gradually inflate their internal money supply. Community currencies powered by Intercoin enable communities to help their own without waiting for the federal government and without disincentivizing paid work. The arrangement is completely voluntary and democratic. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of our freedoms that are threatened on the internet and in meat space. We think that's important here on Free Talk Live, so we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Incorporated for advertising. If you think freedom is important too, check out Intercoin at intercoin.org. You can invest in this project and potentially make big gains or just be involved and perhaps shape its future. Intercoin.org. We're talking about deepfakes and where is this technology leading? You know, it's kind of fun in some ways, but it could be a little disruptive in other ways, depending on what is done with it. The idea of faking people, swapping faces, faking voices, and things like that. Let's go to Alex in Ohio. We're back to Alex in Ohio. If you've got more, Alex, I presume you do because you stayed on the line. So go ahead.
Well, yeah. Just going back to what Tyler was talking about, insofar as the, what do you think the odds of a government getting a hold of this technology and creating a boogeyman, and then if they actually, if you do think the odds are high of something like that happening? What do you think the ramifications would be if we caught them doing that? Like, would something actually happen out of that?
So I think it's almost a certainty, because if the government has a new tool and it's powerful, they will exercise it to the best of their ability.
Before you go on, I'd like to ask a counter question. What do you think the likelihood that the government gets a hold of this deep fake technology and uses it for good, for justice, for peace,
zero,
for honesty? Yeah, like, no, that's not what they're going to do. That's not what they do. Nobody in their right mind believes they're going to get a hold of this duplicitous technology and use it for good.
I don't think he was saying that.
No, I don't think he was.
Right. Okay.
Well, and if you're asking what some of the ramifications are, I try and be an optimist, and one thing that I think that might be a positive coming out of this is people are going to have to reconnect in person. We're going to have to stop relying on what the internet's telling us, and we're going to have to question its validity every time something gets brought up, if it's purely online. So this might make people kind of reconsider the concept of a community, and that could be a positive. So,
well, I absolutely agree with that, and I think that's what we should have been doing in the first place, taking individual responsibility for our information and how we consume information. If we wish to have the because truth is kind of hard to find these days, but to find a good answer, we do have an individual responsibility to look at multiple sources and then kind of find the dart throw in the center of that stuff.
As far as what you said about what the ramifications would be if we caught the government doing that, well, look what happened to Jeffrey Epstein, right?
I'm not sure what the hell happened to Jeffrey Epstein or if he was real.
what America at large now knows is that there are pedophiles in elite rings in government and
everywhere,
as captains of industry,
everywhere.
And a lot of people's response to that was, yeah, but didn't we always kind of know that?
Sure.
Like that somehow excuses it.
Bill, I mean, if you pay attention to, was it Jimmy Savile or Savile in the UK? He was in a position of power and influence. He was, I think, an entertainer of some sort who was going around to hospitals and molesting people, apparently. And he was protected. They were covering up for him. And he wasn't just molesting kids. He was, like, molesting just people who were in, you know, sick in beds and things like that, from what I understand about the case.
Somebody
called in years ago about it. But this information came out after his death. And we've seen so many different stories of government corruption over our lifetimes. It's like just another drop in the bucket when you find out, oh, yeah, no, not only are these people killers, but they're also pedophiles, right? Like, so, okay, well, let's vote for the next guy.
And we always find out 30 years too late.
It does seem like it. And how will Americans react? I would like to field that. How do they react to I don't think anybody believes the Warren Commission's report on the assassination of JFK.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
right.
How have Americans reacted to that? I don't think very much. They continue
If we don't have the declassified information, yeah, we'd have our theories and we have our stuff. But if they were to actually post an actual declassified information, like maybe WikiLeaks puts out that stuff, like the next Osama bin Laden was created and generated by the United States. It's a deepfake AI, and we just sent people to war for nothing.
Well, basically, I mean, they sent people to war for nothing the last time anyway.
They'll build up whatever the story is in order to make it beyond whomever the central
weapons
character
of mass destruction. That was fake.
The fake Osama bin Laden too is just a tool of Al Qaeda. Don't look at this, Americans. This is ridiculous. WikiLeaks is crazy.
There were even theories out there. Remember about Osama bin Laden? There were theories that he had, there were like stand-ins for him, and that he wasn't who or where they said
he was. That was the same with Saddam Hussein. Body doubles and different spider holes and everything else like that. It's crazy. I mean,
and he worked for the CIA. The whole thing of like Osama bin
Laden. Right, and did Osama bin Laden actually die? Because they kicked his body, kicked his body into the ocean, and then we never. That was the end of the story.
Yeah, a lot of good questions about that stuff. And so we've seen so much corruption from government. Most people understand that they expect the government people to be liars and thieves, but they keep voting for them. Nothing changes.
This election is glorious because what we have now is two crooked old perverts running against each other. I mean,
probably what you've always had. It's just now clear.
Right. Now there's no kidding. Right. Yeah. And I will look people in the eye and I'll say, nope, I'm not going to vote for a crooked old pervert this year. I'm voting for George Jorgensen, the libertarian. And then they'll tell me why their crooked old pervert is
better.
There's nothing you can say to convince me that your crooked old pervert is better than the other crooked old pervert. And then they just go ahead and say some more because they don't know what else to do. I mean, these are like poor animals put into a maze, delivered electric shocks over and over again, starved to the point of madness, and they don't know. Americans have lost their minds. Americans, if you go to the polls and you vote for people who are clearly liars, like, no kidding, they're lying. You know they're lying. Then, I don't even know what to do with you. This is why I say the land of the free is lost. Forget about China. Americans destroyed America.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yes, I understand the passion that you have, and that is not an irrational thing to say. But I think we, as a people, as free and individual people as we can, I think when we look at these global events and, the federal issues and stuff like that, I mean, you can just get information overload in you and you just lock up and it's like, well, look at all this badness. Oh my God. And you don't know what to do.
But if you tell them that they could vote for the libertarian and they continue to say that they're going to vote for one of the crooked old perverts, I mean, I don't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Alex, thank you for calling tonight. I appreciate it.
They can't win. Well, of course they can't win. Your dumb butt won't vote for them.
Thank you. I do appreciate the discussion. We got plenty of time for you on the way if you want to join us. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live.
News from news.bitcoin.com. BTC miners give off a signal of intending to sell. Does this mean a bear cycle? New Zealand police seize $91 million from a Russian exchange operator. Anti-crypto SEC head stepping down, making Bitcoin ETFs more likely. You can make money by referring people to exchange.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com. The next generation wallet is coming from Divi. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divi, Bitcoin, and Fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divi already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DiviProject.org. DiviProject.org.
U.S. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany slammed Maryland Governor Larry Hogan's remarks in a Washington Post op-ed that came out today about President Trump's shortcomings during the coronavirus pandemic. Here's the press secretary during a briefing at the White House.
Yeah, it's really striking, his comments, especially when you compare them to his past comments. This is revisionist history by Governor Hogan, and it stands in stark contrast to what he said on March 19th, where he praised the great communication that the president has had with governors. He literally was praising the president of the United States for delivering on testing.
The Republican leader detailed in his op-ed in the Post having to buy 500,000 coronavirus tests from the South Korean government in a deal broken in part by his wife, who's a native to the country. He said he hid them from the federal government to avoid them being seized for use in another state or by the federal government. This is USA Radio News. National security agencies in the UK, the United States, and Canada have all accused hackers linked to Russian intelligence services of targeting organizations conducting COVID-19 vaccine research with custom malware in an effort to steal intellectual property. The UK's National Cybersecurity Center issued the joint advisory, which was also shared by the United States National Security Agency. UK Foreign Minister Dominic Raab said in a statement, "It's completely unacceptable that the Russian intelligence services are targeting those working to combat the coronavirus pandemic." As the Washington NFL franchise finally made the decision to change their name, they are now under more scrutiny as 15 former female employees who worked for the Redskins told the Washington Post they had been sexually harassed while working for the organization. The team announced in a statement that it's hired Washington, D.C. attorney Beth Wilkinson to conduct a thorough independent review of this entire matter and help the team set up new employee standards for the future. This is USA Radio News.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live, dial toll free. Take control of the airwaves here. Our number 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. And that's where you can join us and sound almost like you're sitting here in the studio with us. I'm Ian.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Mark.
So you can bring up anything that you want. We've been focused on deep fakes, and a lot of people called in about masks here tonight. I did say I had a list because Walmart made big headlines this week because they're going to be rolling out a mandatory mask policy, supposedly, in the next few days. And apparently others, as you probably guessed, are following suit. CNN reporting that CVS and Target are now announcing they will require customers to wear masks in their stores across the United States as the retail industry moves to enforce mask mandates to supposedly slow the spread of coronavirus. CVS tweeted Thursday saying, quote, "We're joining others in taking the next step and requiring all customers to wear face coverings," they said. Target said in a statement they would start requiring masks or face coverings starting August 1st in all stores. Quote, "This builds on the more than 80% of our stores that already require guests to wear face coverings due to local and state regulations." They say they will provide disposable masks at the entrances to customers who don't have them. Walmart, Kroger, Kohl's, and others have already said. Apparently, Best Buy announced Tuesday, according to a list at Yahoo Finance. Let's see. So Walmart with 4,700-plus locations. Starbucks with their 15,000-plus locations. BJ's Wholesale Club, Apple Stores, Costco, CVS, as we mentioned, Target. Let's see. Menards, Kohl's, Kroger, and there I'm sure will be more coming. It's the pile-on time where every corporation's got to show how obedient they are. Now, of course, the question is, are the corporations doing this because they actually believe it, or are they doing it because they believe that people believe it, and this is what people expect them to do? This is a market pressure that is operating here. This is what people want. Is this what people want? Well, I don't know.
I don't think I want to go into Walmart and feel like I'm walking through the TSA. You know, but I feel like that's where we're heading. Even in grocery stores now, you've got little signs on the floor. Mm-hmm. Tells you what direction you got to walk.
And people are real indignant about it. Like, they just stuck some stickers down on the floor, and suddenly you care? What difference does it make to you how, what direction a person's passing you?
Has someone given you a hard time about this?
They gave my wife a hard time about it.
Really?
Some indignant a-hole up in New England. I mean, they're just full of cranky Yankees, mm-hmm. You know, and it doesn't surprise me in the very least. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference whether if somebody's 3 feet away from you because they're passing you,
right,
going the same direction you were, yeah, because you're slow and you're looking at a can of soup.
Taking your time. Are you supposed to wait on everybody in the aisle till they till they take their time and walk through the aisle and not pass them? Is there going to be a no passing rule coming soon in these stores?
Pretty soon. It's just, they make it so difficult to go to the grocery store that you have to use their online shopping thing.
Do all grocery stores even have online shopping?
The ones that don't will go out of business, right?
Yeah, probably so. So you're seeing a lot of companies sort of jump on board here with this, and ultimately I find this very disturbing, and it's really frustrating to be out there amidst all this. And we're here in New Hampshire, where it's nowhere near as bad as it apparently is in some other places, where in some cities there's 95%+ mask compliance going on everywhere. And most people, they don't want to stir the pot. They don't want to get into an argument, although some people have. Apparently there's been people who pulled guns and had loud arguments over these mask policies. So some people are really upset by being told to mask up. There was another story out of Utah where they were having a school board meeting of some sort, and it was about the upcoming school year policies, and a whole bunch of people without masks came in to this particular meeting, and so they postponed the meeting as a result of that, claiming that they were in violation of the state's rules on people being in a small place with no masks on.
So we can't go on.
Now they're not even going to have the meeting. Because people weren't wearing masks.
Yeah. Well, one thing we need is more ventilation in these indoor buildings. I mean, if we're going to act like everything's a big deal, people need to be able to come to these meetings. The problem
aren't even happening in real life.
The problem with these government meetings is that too many people came. Does it really matter if you have enough people in the room? Does it really matter if they have masks on or not? Because the viral load in the meeting will fill up.
That's the thing. It's all about show. That's what a lot of it is.
I know it's all about show, but it's certainly somewhat about show.
A lot of it is. It's about, like you just said, what does it matter whether there's 200 people in a room and it's a relatively small room, does it really matter?
And when you cancel events like that, now it becomes about compliance. It's like, mm-hmm. If you want to do your business, doesn't matter if you want to or not, you better wear the mask or we're just not going
to
cooperate.
Let's talk to Paul. He's on the line in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Paul. Hello?
Yes, Holly. Would you go to a New York City hospital in an intensive care unit and not wear a mask?
Are you at? Would I? Is that what you're asking?
Tyler.
Yes. Would I go into like an ICU or something like that and not wear a mask? Is that what you're asking?
You mean as a doctor or as a visitor?
I guess either way, it doesn't matter, right? Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. Yeah, I'll wear a mask. There are times where I think it's appropriate to wear a mask.
Why?
When you're in a hospital, you're almost certainly around immunocompromised people.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of respect for the healthcare workers who are exposed to the virus every single day. And I think it's just good practice.
So why not do it at Walmart?
Well, I didn't say I didn't wear a mask.
During a pandemic.
If a private company or a private store wants to ask me to wear a mask, I will. But, like, if you're going to have the state tell me that I have to wear a mask when I'm out on the sidewalk and no one's around me, that's where I have an issue.
What if the state's right inside buildings, what we're talking about? I didn't talk about outside.
Okay, so you're saying, what is it you're saying?
Yeah,
that the
inside.
State should be able to dictate what people do in their own businesses?
No, I asked you, why would you wear a mask? And if you would wear a mask by your own volition,
mm-hmm.
Hey,
James. James, all you have to do is apologize.
Hey,
Master,
I'm going to hurt your family.
Shut
if
up.
You don't tell the truth.
All you have to do is apologize for threatening my family.
I'm going to destroy your effing family, and I already
told
the cops.
Yeah, baby. That's right.
Scumbag.
Threaten my child on national radio, you lunatic FBI shill. You government plant. Just go ahead and do it.
You identified him, man. I didn't think it was him in the beginning of that
call. He has to do is apologize for threatening my family. What does his insane drunk ass do?
And he is drunk.
He doubles down.
He is drunk.
It was better than a job of faking his voice.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, screw you. How's that?
I don't know how he was trying to pigeonhole me there, but I feel
choke
like he wanted
me to Polish sausage.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, James, number 25 talk show host in the nation today, and you don't get on the air because you're an insane, violent lunatic.
Well, he did get on the air.
Well, he did get on the air, but he can't stay. He wants to stay. He wants to talk about it.
Well, if he wanted to stay, he should not threaten people's, families.
All he has to do is apologize. Yeah. I'll let him back on. Just apologize. But he's not going to do that. No. He'd rather threaten a 12-year-old boy.
Mm.
Because he was abused, clearly. I mean, I don't know what happened in his life. But, people tend to repeat their trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know how it happened.
Toll-free number tonight.
He says his father was a saint, but, who knows.
855-450-FREE. Now, Tyler, you mentioned that you would wear a mask in a store if they asked you to.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people are trying to politicize this. I'm not going to wear a mask because I'm told to. I'm not in that camp. I'm very much pragmatic about it, and there's times to wear a mask. If I have to be in a close-knit room, there's old people there, if I'm asked to wear a mask by someone who owns the property, that's all fair game. But if I don't feel like a mask is necessitated, then I'm not going to wear one, even if it is enforced by some entity.
What if the entity asking you to wear one is doing it at the government's behest rather than their own choice, right? Like the governments in a lot of states, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, other places, are saying businesses, you must enforce the mask mandate. You are now our enforcement arm, and you must force this on your customers.
Well, let's hope they're not enforcing it very hard. That's my first thing.
Okay, 855, 450, free. I don't know how hard they are. That's a good question. I don't know what level of
intensity. If I walk into a store, I'm not wearing a mask until I'm told to, right? Or if they have a sign posted. But and that doesn't happen very often. And if they do, politely ask me to wear a mask, I'll put one on.
The toll-free number here, 855, 450, free. I will politely refuse and turn around and walk out. We're coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey, self-reliance gardeners, now that you've got your crisis garden planted, the next step is to make sure all your vegetables are going to grow like crazy the rest of the summer. For that, you'll need an all-natural, full-spectrum plant food that works to not only maximize nutritional uptake for you and your family, but is also guaranteed to make your fruits and vegetables actually taste better. The name of the product is ProtoGrow, a proprietary blend of bioactive superfoods for plants designed to produce rapid plant growth in record time, so much so that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It does this by combining powerful trace elements and micronutrients from seaweed extracts with a balanced blend of macronutrients from cold water fish. The result? Vegetables grow faster than ever because they now have the essential bioavailable nutrients they need. Go to growlikecrazy.com to learn more. Huge summer discounts now available. growlikecrazy.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Show, I am Mark Edge. Once in a while in life, you get a golden opportunity. Today is my golden opportunity. I have with me Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo, whom we have spoken about many, many times on Free Talk Live and his books. Doctor, are you there?
I'm there, yeah. I'm here, Mark. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you so much. So, your books seem, you seem obsessed about Abraham Lincoln. Why don't you like America?
I'm not obsessed. Well, I just wrote, I have a new book coming out, The Problem with Lincoln, that Regnery Publishing talked me into writing. It's been 17 years since The Real Lincoln was published.
Yep.
And The Real Lincoln was number two in sales on Amazon when it came out. And so that probably has something to do with why they asked me to write another one. But in the meantime, I've done a lot more research over the past 17 years and reading and writing. And so have other people. There's a lot of new research that I incorporated into the new book, The Problem with Lincoln, that did not appear in the earlier writings. And also, I think, you know, the Civil War is the, you know, the biggest, most most important event in all of American history in terms of politics, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it is.
Americans, so much of it that I think is wrong in the history books, and that's what motivated me to write this this book. And I wrote it from the eye of a professional economist and not a historian, and that's, I think, why what makes my books different from your typical biography.
And the Americans seem to think that, you know, whatever's happening today is the most important thing to happen. But, I mean, Americans truly did pick up arms and fight each other in 1861, right? North against South. And in many cases, counties were split and families were split. And it was a terrible time. Now, it's pretty obvious the way we are looking at racial tensions right now in America that the Civil War must have absolutely been about slavery, right? In 1861, when people picked up arms, that must have been over slavery.
Well, in my new book, The Problem with Lincoln, I have it as an appendix, Lincoln's first inaugural address and also Jefferson Davis's inaugural address, the full text. And they talked about, you know, the purpose of an impending war. And what Lincoln said was, he said, "I have no intent to disturb Southern slavery." And he said, "You can read any of my past speeches, and I've said the same thing." And even in the same speech, he said that he was in favor of a constitutional amendment. It was called the Corwin Amendment, that would have made it impossible for the government to ever interfere with slavery. But in the same speech also, he said it is my duty to collect the duties and imposts, by which he meant tariffs on imports.
Taxes.
And then he says, beyond that, there be no invasion of any state. So he literally threatened an invasion over tax collection. And then when the Congress issued its War Ames Resolution, which is also known as the Crittenden-Johnson Resolution in 1861, they said the same thing. They said it has nothing to do with interfering with what they call the domestic institutions of the states, which is slavery. And they said it is to save the Union and to uphold the Constitution was what they said was the purpose of the war. And so the issue of slavery was not an issue at the beginning. Lincoln did not invade the southern states to do anything about the slaves. If the war would have ended after the first week, he would have done nothing. He promised that he would do nothing because saving the Union was always the objective.
So,
and of course, saving all that tax revenue.
Right. And a lot of people don't want to look at it over the taxes. It's a much neater package that we've been handed in high school that, it was all over slavery and those sorts of things. And it just doesn't fit anything about what Lincoln said or did. The Emancipation Proclamation wasn't written until about halfway through the war with the intention of hopefully getting some black folks on to fight on the side of the Union. And I can totally understand why they would choose to fight on the side of the Union. But and I get the reasoning behind this twisted narrative that we've been handed. It's just not true.
Well, yeah, and the problem with Lincoln, I also include as an appendix the entire Emancipation Proclamation. And in it, Lincoln calls it a war measure. He doesn't call it an emancipation measure. He calls it a war measure. And it specifically exempted all the areas of the South where the Union Army was in control at the time, including the entire state of West Virginia. So, in other words, it only applied to Confederate territory.
Right.
Where the U.S. government had no ability whatsoever to emancipate anyone. And it also Lincoln also said, if the Union is reunited on the next day, it would become defunct. They would have no force. And then, of course, it did not have the force of law. It was just the words of a politician. You know, slavery was actually ended by, of course, the 13th Amendment. After the war, and Lincoln at the time was excoriated about this by the real abolitionists in the North. He was not an abolitionist. He once joked to a New York audience. He said, "We have abolitionists in Illinois. We shot one of them the other day." Ha ha! And so he was excoriated by them and a lot of Europeans also, who thought this was hypocritical. And I think the real purpose of it, as you alluded to, was to try to instigate slave rebellions in the South, but that never happened. It didn't work. It didn't work out that way. And this happened after the Union Army was losing terribly, battle after battle, in the first 2 years of the war. And so it was another attempt to create a disruption in the Southern states, which never occurred.
Surely we can say that the secession of the states that occurred was treason, right?
No, actually, that's one of the things that's the truth is the opposite of what you're taught in school. If you read Article 3, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, it defines treason, and it says treason is defined only, and it uses the word only, as levying war upon the United States or giving aid and comfort to their enemies. And the key words there are them and their. Because at that time in history, the states were called free and independent, which is the language used in the Declaration of Independence. And so when they said waging war against them, it meant Virginia, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, the individual states. So literally, the definition of treason in the Constitution is waging war against the individual states, which is exactly what happened when Lincoln invaded the individual states of the South. And so he was guilty. He and all the Republican Party were guilty of treason, in my opinion, on that. But at the same time, Lincoln himself redefined, he took it upon himself to redefine treason as criticism of himself and his government policies. And we sort of have gone with that ever since. Criticism of Washington, D.C., you know, somebody will accuse you of treason one way or the other if your criticisms are hard-hitting enough. But that is not the definition of treason in the Constitution. What Lincoln did was the textbook definition of treason under Article 3, Section 3.
So, stepping away for a second here, this is a question that I simply cannot answer for myself, is why does the world look at the United States as a country and that the EU as a federation? The difference between the two is vanishingly similar, right? You know, they're both federations of sovereign states that have come together for the purpose of trade and military. It's really not military. NATO's handling it, but whatever. You know, like basically the things the Constitution says. The United States is a proto-EU, but we look at Spain as its own country and North Carolina as a subsidiary of the United States. Help me.
Yeah, the original American system was, you know, when the King George III signed the peace treaty, the Treaty of Paris, to end the Revolutionary War, he signed it with all the individual states by name. He named all the states, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and plantations, it was called, Virginia, Pennsylvania. That's who the treaty was signed with. Because each state considered itself to be a free country in the same sense that England or Spain or France were free countries. And if you read the Declaration of Independence near the end, it says, you know, free to do what? Well, to raise taxes, to raise armies, and to do everything that states do. And so that's why when Robert E. Lee was offered command of the Union Army, and before the war started, he said, no, I can't wage war against my own country and my own countrymen. And that's how the original system was created. It was a compact among free and independent states that were considered to be states in the same sense as England and France were states. That all changed after the war, the war turned the U.S. into a consolidated monopolistic government. That's why they say, we used to say the United States are, the word are, but it became the United States is after the Civil War. Hmm. And that's where we destroyed true federalism. You know, in the early 19th century, the U.S. and Switzerland had very similar systems of federalism as their defining characteristics. The Swiss have kept it, by and large, but we ditched it in 1865.
You can hear the rest of this interview with Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo on his new book, The Problem with Lincoln, at archives.freetalklive.com. That's archives.freetalklive.com. Go there.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.